Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
It was an interesting thing to read that Chris Yerland, who is a consultant in this space and an expert in this space, is very concerned about the outdated thinking of the approach in South Africa to electricity supply. A very good morning to you. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Cold this morning, yeah, but... up and about.
It really is, and apparently it's getting a lot colder. That makes me nervous, not because of the cold, but because of what that means to electricity.
Of course, you know, load shedding is caused by two things. Either demand increases beyond ability to supply, or supply reduces. And sometimes it's a combination of both. There's breakdowns on the supply side, and there's increased demand with cold weather. So there's always risk, even in cold weather, in warm weather, in rainy weather, in dry weather. When you're running very close to the edge, the risk of unforeseen circumstances, a sudden coming together of a number of breakdowns simultaneously can push one over the edge from no load shedding into load shedding. It is really as a result of the supply of the tightness between supply and demand and inadequate generation reserve margin.
That's a short-term story, isn't it? So we get a cold front, electricity supply, a demand goes up, or we get some kind of a breakdown and we get a reduction in supply. The problem is that we need to fix it when under normal circumstances. Are we making any progress?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the power system should be run in a way that there is adequate reserve margin and resilience in order to deal with the normal ups and downs of the weather, of unforeseen breakdowns. And the fact that these things push us over the edge is a sign that we're not operating the power system with the right levels of reserve margin. And we need to start putting in place immediate actions to resolve this matter. And one way of doing this is to allow customers to become part of the solution in generating electricity.
And are we making progress in that regard?
Slow progress, certainly not fast enough at all. There has been, you know, this relaxing of the limit above which you need a generation license from 1 megawatt to 100 megawatt. That is a step forward, but it's not yet even gazetted. So the old rules still apply for now. We should be, I believe, being far more proactive, not only in allowing generation, own generation and self-generation to occur, but to encourage it and even to incentivize it in order to speed up this uptake of generation by customers who, at their own cost, not at the cost of the fiscus, not at the cost of government, and not requiring government guarantees, could bring significant new generation capacity. And by that, I'm talking about 5,000 to 6,000 megawatts of new generation capacity in the next 18 months to 2 years, if we would get our act together and move into the new world of electricity in which customers can also be generators of electricity, so-called prosumers, producers of electricity as well as consumers of electricity.
Ah, that's a word I haven't heard before, prosumers.
Indeed, this is a word that's been quite widely used around the world.
Oh, gosh, sorry, I'm very
but
obviously...
we're only waking up to it.
I was just going
to
say, I'm obviously not as with it as I thought I was.
Just that in South Africa, we are some years behind trends elsewhere in the world.
Right. Very, very, very clearly. So what should be done? Should Eskom, is it Eskom's job or is it government's job to start encouraging people to be prosumers?
Well, first of all, it starts with policy. So government has to have the right policies. And these then have to filter through to the implementation of these policies, and the starting point there is the regulatory environment. So the regulator needs to move out of its backward-looking approach in which it seems to be spending a lot of time and effort trying to protect the incumbent monopolies in the form of Eskom and municipal electricity distributors, because generally we do not have a choice of who our electricity supplier is. But now that these new technologies are becoming available, we are starting to have a choice. But that choice is not being allowed to us in the way it should be allowed because of this backward-looking policies in protecting the incumbent monopoly. So I think it's policy to start off with. Then it is regulation. And then, of course, there should be incentives. So people like the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition and like the other government departments, for example, COGTA, the department that looks after municipalities, they also need to become part of it. And of course, in the end, customers need to take ownership of their own energy future instead of just waiting for government to do things. Once it's allowed to happen, once it's been incentivized, the private sector should step forward and become part of the solution.
As a consumer, in fact, we were having this conversation over the weekend. Where should we start? Let's assume that we've obviously got our load shedding stuff in place, maybe inverters, maybe generators, whatever that would be. But if we wanted to start moving towards a different type of energy, where do we start?
Well, the first place to start is what we call energy efficiency, and that is using what one has got very much more carefully than we have done in the past. Now, the biggest incentive towards energy efficiency is the price of electricity. Sure. As the price of electricity goes up and up, we really have little option but to use it more sparingly and not wastefully. And there are many things that one can do, you know, as a consumer in one's own house, in one's business, in one office, to use electricity sparingly, everything from energy efficient lights, to making sure your swimming pool pump motor doesn't run, longer than is necessary. And of course, to use, power during off-peak periods. So there's no need for a swimming pool pump motor to run during the peak periods of the day, you know, the evening peak and the morning peak, or even during daylight hours, it's fine for it to run at night. Looking at heating systems, cooling systems, appliances, making sure that they are the latest appliances that use electricity efficiency. You know, if you were to look at a fridge or a stove or a household appliance like a washing machine or a dishwasher, that was made 10, 15 years ago, they were incredibly energy inefficient. And the modern appliances have put a lot of effort into reducing the amount of electricity consumption. And this is by far the cheapest way of managing things. And that is to the cheapest electricity is the electricity you don't use. So that's where you should start. And then, of course, one can move towards other options, for example, a solar PV system, a battery storage system, backup power supply systems for essential loads, reorganizing the wiring of one's house so that you separate the critical loads from the non-critical loads, and then installing some backup. These are ways that customers can address the problem.
And unfortunately, that's all we have time for. Chris Yerland, Energy Analyst, Managing Director of EE Intelligence, giving us some information about what we can do and the state of the situation in South Africa.